Christ. And unfortunately, that happens and probably happened in this church as well. Now, it popped out in several different ways, how you know what carnality looks like in a church. And it revealed itself in a lot of areas. And Paul was dealing with them. Listen, he wasn't mad at them. He wasn't like, browbeating them and being angry about it. He said, look, this is what the problem is. And he said, this is how we have to deal with it. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you what it is, and I'm going to show you how to take care of that problem. You know, he's helping them along. He's going to deal with it. And so he points it out. He points out the purpose for which Jesus died and what the plan was, and he's trying to help them along that. And he reminds them and us, he said in the verse that I'm talking about, he said, ye are God's husbandry. In other words, you're a building that God's work can work on or is working on, and you're God's building as well. He used kind of two images, planting and growing, because that's what they did. They knew about that. We're country folk. We know about that as well. And then he said, you're God's building. He talked about foundation and that kind of thing right there. And then he told them this in verse 16. He said, ye are the temple of God. You're God's temple. I mean, here's another thing that he said. So he's trying to say, look, you shouldn't be carnal, and here's some of the reasons why. And he said, and he's given them all those things. He said, so you're the temple of God. And then at the last verse, he said, ye are Christ, and Christ is God. And so these are the reasons why you shouldn't be it. And so we, and they, and what he's kind of saying, look, you don't need to live on a low level of spirituality or a low level of Christianity, if you will. You don't have to live down there. You should be up here. You don't have to live on such a low level. There's no reason. And it's probably, and I've said this several times, but you know how it is. We got to hear it more than once. It's probably the reason, the major problem. Here we got the same problem. It's as well. There's a major problem, condition, whatever you want to call it, in the church today, that Christians don't move forward or past the place that they get to. They get saved and they're at the foundation level. You know, Jesus Christ is the foundation. You get saved. But boy, the building doesn't go any farther than that. The foundation has been laid. Salvation, Jesus Christ, that's the thing right there. But they never move past mature along that way, and they stay that way a long time. And unfortunately, in most churches, most of the people, the majority of the people, a lot of times are that way. They're not making any headway in their spiritual life. And we'll talk about that as what Paul talked about here. Now, there's some marks. I don't have an alliterated outline as such because he's just talking about the marks of, and what we see, the marks of carnality in Corinth, and they would be that way. And I spoke about this some last week. They were worshiping the leaders. We saw that. It said some of them said, well, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. And even Cephas, there was different ones. And so the church was divided by loyalty to a person. We've had this in this church. It used to happen some. And we'd have, if we had a missionary schedule, I usually schedule a missionary on Sunday night. They would come. These people would come all the time on Sunday night. But if we had a missionary, they wouldn't come. They didn't want to hear the missionary, you know. I mean, what we're supposed to be, missionary-minded, right? They didn't want to hear that. I mean, but listen, it's the same Jesus, right? We're worshiping the same Jesus. We're worshiping the same God. We ought to be in church worshiping God, but depending on who the speaker was, who the Sunday school teacher might be, who this and that and the other thing. It's all God's business. It's all God's work. And so they were divided by loyalty to people. And Paul says, look, we're all just laborers together with God. That's what we do. We are working, doing God's work. You know, some of it might be better than others. Maybe personalities and people don't fit, but it's still God's work. It's all God's work. And Paul says, look, we're only the messengers, and we're just doing what God tells us to do. We plant, we water, that's all we can do. He said, God gives the increase. That's all we do. We plant, we water, that's it. And, you know, we have to see that. So we see that the field, people are kind of the field, if you want to look at it that way, that, you know, there's got to be plowing, there's got to be sowing, there's got to be watering, all those things before there's a harvest. I'll say something about that here in just a minute. And so Paul, Apollos, any of them, they couldn't make things grow. Like, I can't make you grow. That's all I can do. I can put the seed out, word of God. Water the seed, tell you the same thing over and over again. huh? I can do that for you. That's all I can do. But I cannot make, you know, God, and God gives the increase. God does cause the growth. But I'm telling you what, you have to, you know, the soil's got to be right as well, right? You got to plow up the soil and those type things. And so the seed, you know, you remember the great illustration in the Bible, and some, you could use this to preach. I've probably preached it two ways. The parable of the seeds and the sower. You're all familiar with that parable as well. You could say that a lot of them people, some of them people were lost. You could also preach it that all them people are saved people, and it's just how the word goes to them after they, you know, get to that point. The wayside soil. One of the sowers sowed seed in the word of God. This would be a good group to show us being lost. But I think this probably happens to people, and at least they're in church. They may be in churches. Maybe they're not saved. Some of that soil, some of that seed fell by the wayside, off to the side. And it said some of it fell on stony ground and not much soil. And it sprang up and the sun scorched it. And some seed fell among the thorns and the thistles. I think the wayside seed, I think the fowls of the air came and got that, if I'm not mistaken. Not much soil and it sprang up. It means there was something there, but then the sun came up and scorched that plant, and it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns and thistles. The stony ground got scorched, and the thistles grew for a little while, but then they got choked out by the other weeds that were growing all around them. And then it said some fell on good ground, and it said when it did, it brought forth fruit. And it named them out different amounts of fruit that came along right there. And so Jesus goes along and then he explained what he meant when he told the parable. And he said that wayside soil, and I think this happens, this may even happen to people that are saved, that wayside soil, it's the man that the seed falls or the word of God falls and he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand it's been given to him. So what happens is he doesn't heed to that word. Now tell me the truth. You know, bob your head up and down like this. There's people in churches all over the place where the word of God, they hear it. It falls on them ears to a degree right there, but they do not heed the word of God. Boy, yeah, huh? That's a weak amen right there. I'm telling you, this is the truth, right? They don't heed the word of God. Now, it could be because they really don't understand it. Maybe don't understand the weight of it, the gravity of it, the seriousness of it, whatever. Sometimes, you know, they don't understand that. And so what happens when he doesn't have, then the fowls of the fowls of the air come and they snatch the word away. In other words, the word just goes away. It goes away. And it never comes to life. I planted some seeds one time. I had some seeds out. There must have been something wrong with them. I mean, I had some seeds one time. I tried to germinate them, and they would not germinate. They just would not germinate. They would not grow at all. And so sometimes I think the word of God is preached. It goes to the hearer, you know, to somewhere, ear, mind, heart, probably not the heart, but it gets on the ears and mind. And you know what? It just never takes hold. It never germinates. It doesn't come to life in that person's character. That takes place right there. And then sometimes the word of God is sown on rocky soil and it, not a lot of dirt. But, you know, man, I tell you what, you can see a tree sometime growing right out of a rock or a plant, you know, if there's a crack. But there's got to be a crack. I mean, I got my driveway. We had our driveway redone, and the reason was because it had cracks and stuff, and as old and the age it was time to have it redone. Whew, man, expensive. I'm going to start a GoFundMe page for that so you can all help out with that. But I had a couple of those big cracks. Now, a seed laying right on top of the driveway out there in the middle wouldn't grow. But boy, the grass, it would come up in that crack. It'd get down in that crack right there, you know, because there's enough little leaf litter and that kind of crud in there that a seed would grow. Because I know good and well it wasn't nothing but gravel up underneath that thing. But it would get enough grow and would do that. And Dimbo, what happens is if it got hot enough, hot and dry in the old summertime and we didn't get a rain, guess what? It would die. That stuff would die. Not much soil there, right there, right? And so what happens? There's people that are like this. We've seen these people too. They receive the word. They hear the word and boy, they go, yeah, man, that's truth. Boy, and they take it in and they receive it, but it's not deep. It's not deep in their life. It's just something, hey. And then the sun comes up, trials, temptation, whatever, in the world. And you know what? And then right away, it withers up. It's superficial. the word really never takes a deep, roots. Something got to have deep roots, a lodging. And so the trials of life, the word of God, they get away from it or it goes away, however you want to look at it. And then the thistles and the thorns trying to grow in there. Things don't grow good in the middle of that. What grows good in thistles and thorns? Other thistles and thorns. The things that you want to grow really good, they don't grow. Fruit-producing things, they don't do that. And so what happens there is where the word, it started to grow, right? Both of those cases there, the seed started to grow for a little time. Something happened, but then the cares of this world, thistles and thorns, fill in the blank. It could be anything, deceitfulness of riches, other pursuits, self, the flesh, whatever. Those things come up. We know that. And what happens? The word of God gets choked out. In other words, it's on the back burner. It's not a priority in their life. They know it. They know the word. They know that there. And they don't have a problem with it. They like it all right. But then the cares of this world. And then it says there's the one guy that receives the word on good ground. Receives the word on good ground. Here's a guy, a heart that's receptive, willing to listen, wanting to know, has a hunger for it, has a desire for it. This heart was prepared somehow. Now, I believe that God does the preparing a lot of times. I mean, there's a willingness on man's part that's involved with that, and God deals with that too. And this guy, but what happened? That seed got in there, and then somebody watered. They heard some more preaching. And somebody, watered that, planted it, and all of a sudden it produced fruit. That's it. So the word, like you can have all of us sitting here, get it real plain for you. We all sitting here right here, y'all hearing the same message. But it's going to affect everybody in here differently. Might be some people that are similar either way, But some of you, it's going to do something to your character, and some of you it's not. It's received differently. And if you got a, it don't matter how many, and it'd all be different levels right there. And, what's going on? Got a little ring. The seed will grow according to the way in which it was sown and the way in which you receive it. That it's going to grow according to that. It may be received carelessly, heedlessly. Like I said this morning, if you get a prescription from the doctor to take medicine for a condition, the medicine don't do you any good unless you take it. It just right here doesn't do any good unless you do it. It doesn't do anything for you. And so it may, if it's received that way, it could be choked out by the cares of life, riches, ambition. The Bible talks about this, about plowing up the fallow ground. There's Old Testament verses on that. I didn't look them up, but I've known them all my life, or all my Christian life. Fallow ground. You know what fallow ground? Fallow ground is where one of the practices that farmers do, they still do this. They don't plant the same crop over and over and over again for a bunch of years in a row. They do crop rotation is a thing. I know a little something about farming. Crop rotation, you grow something maybe 1 or 2 years, and then they'll rotate crops. Sometimes what they do, though, the best thing you do for a field, you don't plant anything in it. You just let it go. You let it go. And it can be nothing growing, and it lets the nutrients and stuff and whatever it needs get back in the soil. And then what happens? They got to go out there. Now they got to plow that ground, that fallow ground. And it needs to be broken up. The soil can get packed down, wayside soil, where people walked. Where you walk along the way there and pack it down. You can't plant nothing there. What are you going to do? You ever seen an old packed out hard piece of ground? You throw a bunch of seed on top of that, the birds going to come get it. They even got stuff now they put on the seeds to keep the birds from eating it. But it still isn't going to grow. But what you got to do, you got to break it ground up. You got to plow that ground up. And so, that's how's that done? I mean, well, the preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit convicting our hearts. Sometimes our heart's got to be broken, man, for that seed to get down in our heart somehow. And so it'll be received right. If it's received on hard ground, it's not going to take root. But if it's sown on a prepared heart, one that's broken up, it will take root there. But we see in their text only 25% of what I was telling you, not the text we're reading, but only 25% of the fruit or the seed brought forth fruit And the other 75% was just wasted in a way. It didn't do anything. And so we see all of the above, as I said. Everything depends on how we receive the seed. Not upon the preacher, not upon the waterer, not upon the planter, so to speak, but it's on the preacher. So that's a mark of a carnal church, y'all, is it, the seed can be being sown. The words are going forth. But, you know, the hearts are hard. And then we see also, and it shows up in the childish things that can come out of that life. You know, people putting their faith in the man and little cliques developing, following a person that way. The second thing, of course, that goes along with that, it fits right into what we just talked about, is a lack of growth, having no growth for years and years and years and years, no spiritual growth. And stay in that babe that we talked about maybe last week. And even in that state, a babe in Christ, you're still going to fall into the category of ye are God's building. Ye are God's husbandry. Still God's building. The foundation has already been laid, Jesus Christ. But look what it says. Here's another great verse, and I got this one underlined. The last part of verse 10 says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. All right, you've been saved. The foundation's laid. The foundation is Jesus Christ. But he says, let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Doesn't that show us that there, you know, even though, you know, that we're God's husbandry, that there's some responsibility on our part for the building. I mean, God deals with us. He calls us. He don't force us to do that. Let every man take heed how he builds upon. You know, I remember years ago when we lived up in Amosville, Virginia, 229 would go up towards Culpeper from our house. Just, I don't know how far it was, 10 miles or something maybe. But along the way one time, a church had gotten started somewhere. Maybe it was a storefront church. I didn't know much about it. Household church. They started the church. They bought a piece of property, and they put up a sign, a future home of whatever the name of that church was, and they built a foundation. They got the footers in, and they got the center block foundation built. And I remember telling this years ago, probably when I was preaching on the other side, it stuck in my mind. But they got the foundation built, the center block thing up about that high. It looked like something happening, future home of such and such a church. Man, it looked, you know, okay, hey, they're getting the church going. And man, everything came to a screeching halt. And I mean, a couple of years went by. Nothing going on. And over in the middle of the thing, saplings started growing up. Man, and I didn't know nothing about it, so it made you wonder. You know, I wonder what happened. Did the church fizzle out? Did they run out of money? Probably run out of money, but run out of money didn't look good. I mean, it was kind of a bad testimony on the one hand. And I always wondered what happened. And some years went by, but guess what? Lo and behold, in this story right here, lo and behold, they finally must have got it together, and finally they cleaned all that out, and boy, the thing went up, and they built a little church there. The thing finally got done. You know, praise God for that. But it's a great illustration of a Christian lives a lot of times. What happened when people get saved, and the footers down there, the foundation stones are laid down, they're there. You know, that's salvation, that's Jesus Christ. But then all of a sudden, everything comes to a screeching halt. There's a lot of people that think that's it. Just get saved, and I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to hell. I join the church, and boom, there it is, and nothing ever. They never think in their mind about growing, that there's growth to that, that you add on to that. How are you building on that? Nothing ever happens. Well, just like, what good is that? What good was that foundation like it was? What could you do with that? Hey, let's go down. We'll take the whole church down. Let's go down to our foundation from wherever they were. Let's go down to our foundation, and we're going to have dinner on the ground. We'll go sit inside the foundation and act like it's going to be when the church gets built. You know, what are you going to do with that? You can't do anything with it, right? So really, what is a person that's just gotten saved? They're saved. They've got the foundation, but nothing's built upon that. What are you going to do with them? Oh, they ready to do anything for God? Can they teach class? Can they teach VBS? Teach junior church, do anything with that? Mm-mm. They can't do anything. You know, there's nothing that's going to be done. So it really doesn't, you know, the growth has got to go past that. But they never think, a lot of people never think of this concept, building a life. That's the title, I think, of the message or something close to it. Building their life. They don't think about that. And so all the things that he tells us there, he said, take heed how you build thereon, which means there needs to be some kind of building. And then he went on to say in the rest of the text after that, he said, you can build upon that foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, verse 12, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. There's two groups of three. Gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. He said, take heed how you build with that. I used to use the three little pigs illustration. Y'all, how many of you been here long enough to remember that story? Huh? You remember they built the three little pigs, right? You remember that? Or not the three little pigs, the big bad wolf one. Man, wasn't three little pigs involved in that, right? No, was that the three little pigs? Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of them built the house out of straw, and one of them built the house out of wood. I forgot, I got to get my fairy tale straightened out. One of them built the house out of bricks, right? Was it bricks? Bricks. Yeah, and the big bad wolf came, and he huffed and he puffed, and he blew the straw one down, and he huffed and he puffed, and he blew the sticks down, huffed and puffed, and he couldn't blow the brick one down, right? Take heed. That's a great illustration of that story right there. Or the one where the waves came and beat upon the house and the foundation was short. Okay, it's the same thing. Take heed how you build. Because the wood, hay, stubble is not lasting. That's what it means right there. Okay, so what have you built with? Let me tell you something right here. This is a more serious part, and this is right. You built upon this foundation today. You built upon the foundation yesterday. You built upon this foundation last week. What did you build? What did you build with? What did you build with on your foundation yesterday? Gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble? Well, it was in one group or the other. Something went into your building, your life. Something went into it yesterday. The gold, silver, precious stones, I'll tell you what, things like prayer, witnessing for Christ, trying to win souls. The Bible says that pure religion and undefiled before God is visiting the fatherless and the widows. That's gold, silver, precious stones as well. Encouraging a brother or sister in the Lord, serving God somehow. Those are leading your kid. We had a baby dedication this morning, leading your children to Christ. Leading your family to Christ, that's gold, silver, precious stones. Wood, hay, stubble, self-ambition, the cares of this world, self-centered priorities in your life, the riches of this world, the things that choke out the Word of God, that choke out your service for God. What's choked it out? What choked it out for people tonight? Why we don't have as many people that we have tonight? What has choked out the Word of God? What has choked people out for the things of God? What is it? Huh? What is it? I mean, man, I'm just saying, I don't even, specifically, what is it? It's something choking it out, right? And so there's a warning right there. So we, everybody, listening on Facebook, if anybody's listening on Facebook. I got three people listening on Facebook. Woo! I'm going to probably get my own TV channel. You built into your life something. Every one of us, like I said, we built into that something, somehow, some way, right there. What is it? What is it? And then another thing he said, the next thing, that we see, here's a mark of carnality in the church, is a defiled temple. A defiled temple. Verse 16 and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth you? And if any man defile the temple, now that's got to be a saved person, of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now there's two different words that's translated in the New Testament by the English word temple. And one of them means the building itself, the actual building, and the other is part of the building, but it's more specifically not talking about the physical part of it. And the other means the sanctuary or the holy of holies, but it means this, it means the place where God dwells. Ye are the temple of God, the place where God dwells, and that's the word that's used right here. It means the place where God dwells. Now this is what it's telling us. If you're saved, that we are God's sanctuary, the place of His holy, awesome presence. That's where He dwells, in the hearts of the believers. Now think about that. Man, that is an awesome thought. There ain't no reason in the world to live on a low level right here. Huh? And there's no reason in the world to be building with wood, hay, and stubble on your life. That we are the sanctuary, the temple of God. Now listen, Paul's dealing with all these subjects in one. It's, well, of course, I know somebody else put the chapters, but it's in one chapter about the carnality in the church. That's what he's talking about. And he says, "As if any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy." Now that word destroy here doesn't mean annihilation. It means spoil or mar. That's what the definition of that word is. And so what he's saying, if any man mars or spoils the temple, him shall God corrupt or defile. And if we defile the sanctuary of God, then it is not very long before our whole life becomes corrupt and worldly and indifferent to the things of God. That's what he's saying. That's the direction that you're going in. If you're defiling the temple, you're already going in the wrong direction. And if you keep going that, then God is going to mar or corrupt your life. He'll let you run just a little bit. Huh? He'll let you run with that just a little bit. Huh? Because what it is, it's like, the, you know what, the, you know the text that says about the lukewarm church? God said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Why would God rather have you be cold than lukewarm? Because if you're lukewarm, you're comfortable and you're going to stay that way. If you get cold enough, Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But if a man gets cold enough, huh? If he's like the prodigal son, he gets hungry enough. Huh? He's going to come to his senses and he's going to come back to the Father. That's what's going to take place. So if you get cold enough, you start looking for a place to warm yourself around the Word of God. Your heart's getting warm like the Emmaus Road disciples. I mean, that's the whole point. And so listen, why? So God will say, listen, if you want to run, if you want to defile the temple and you keep going that direction, I'm going to let you go ahead and you're going to get so corrupted that you might come crawling back to the Father because your life has gotten corrupt. And so if any man defiles the temple, him shall God destroy or corrupt or mar, the same word there. And he'll do that. And so, you know, it's not, and that's a warning there. You know, he said, let every man take heed how he builds thereon on his life. And so the evidences of the carnality in the Corinthian church, they had jealousy, they had envy, they had strife, they had division. Their whole testimony was being spoiled because that's the route that they were going on. The Old Testament tabernacle had an outer court where the public walked. And I think the temple was this way too, and there was an inner court where the holy place of service was, and then there was the holiest place of all, the holiest of holies. That was the sanctuary of the presence of God. And so we're not, God doesn't want us living on the outer court, public property, and we're not only to live in that place of service, the busy place of Christian service, the inner court, but God wants us living in the holy place, the holy place of all place, in the presence of God Almighty. That's where God wants us to live. And listen, it's not a very short trip back. You know, if you've been saved any amount of time, your Christian life can go different. You know, you can get away from God sometime, drifting too far from the shore. You know, we've all done that. The good thing is to realize that's what's happened in your life. Man, all you got to do is just turn around. God's right there. You just turn around and get back to God. And so, you know, Paul talks about this and he counteracts carnality by pointing out the kind of people we are to be. He said, listen, we ought to be bearing fruit. You know, the seed ought to be getting in our heart, the seed of the Word of God. It ought to be working on it or doing something with our character in our life. And then he said, you're God's building. And so that we ought to be building our life on the right material. And then he says, you're the sanctuary of God. Huh, intended to reveal the glory of God. That's what he said that we are. I think that just blows my mind to be in the sanctuary of God. And don't defile that temple. Don't defile that temple. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that we can be encouraged by that. And, Lord, we think about these things. Think about, have the thought, Lord, that we're building upon this foundation, that we're building a life upon this foundation. And what are we building it with? Lord, help us there. Lord, help our hearts to be plowed, Lord, that our hearts are broken up, them old hard hearts, that your word will go into our hearts and we can dwell on that and think on that. Lord, it'll have an impact on our life. Help us all. Lord, we know Satan's doing all he can to distract us, Lord, discourage us. Lord, to get that hard heart where that heart hard where we can't let the word go into our hearts, Lord. And he's trying to do that. And so, Lord, help us along. Lord, we need your help. We're weak people, as Leon said in his prayer. Lord, we're needy people, Lord. And so help us, Lord. Plow our hearts, Lord. And we just pray that your word take root in our lives, Lord, and that you'll deal with us on this matter, Lord. Help us to realize that we are the sanctuary. We're the temple of God and temple of you, and help us to realize that. Have your will and way here in our invitation time, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation, tonight's hymn 125, The Solid Rock. Let's stand together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust.